Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Zwillick. On Wednesday, seven Yemenis were released in an exchange for a Saudi Arabian prisoner of war, a bright spot in what's been a bloody conflict between the northern Shia rebels known as the Houthis and the government backed by Sunni neighbor Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, President Obama weighed in on the conflict, telling The Atlantic magazine that Saudi Arabia and Iran, quote, need to find an effective way to share the neighborhood. The president also blamed both countries for fueling the sectarian war in Yemen, where a Saudi bombing campaign seems to be targeting Yemeni civilians.
We lived in horror and great fear. We were expecting the missiles to hit us and our children any moment. There is no medicine like the rest of the world has, but we can't go back to destruction, so we'll stay here until the situation gets better.
That's the voice there of a Yemeni civilian speaking to journalist Ben Anderson in his new piece, Return to Yemen, for Vice on HBO. Anderson spent time in Yemeni villages and towns targeted by Saudi warplanes. We also talked about one of the Saudi suspicions fueling this war, that Houthi fighters are aligned with Iran.
I think the Saudis are very paranoid about Iranian influence. They're very paranoid the Houthis are an Iranian proxy. There's very little evidence to suggest that's true. But they're so paranoid about, you know, Iranian influence surrounding them that they've launched an indiscriminate bombing campaign, which they thought would take weeks, possibly months at best. It's now 10 months on, and you could actually argue the Saudis are losing. The Houthis have actually entered southern Saudi Arabia and taken towns and small military bases there. They want to be a fighting force in the region, which they haven't been before. You know, they spent billions on weapons, but never really used them in a serious way. And this was their first attempt to really do that. And I think intimidate Iran in the region. And if anything, I think it's probably emboldened them.
So paranoia or not, it might make some amount of logical sense that Saudi Arabia would be going after Houthi forces. One thing throughout your film that I couldn't quite figure out is, what's the strategy here? What is the advantage in seeming to bomb civilians indiscriminately? There is scene after scene of people who quite credibly say, we're not fighters, there are no fighters here. And their meager villages are razed to the ground.
Oh, half the people we saw in our film who were victims of the airstrikes were opposed to the Houthis. The final scene in the film is a farmer who's an ex-military officer, so may have fought against the Houthis. And his family had to hide in a trench that he had dug himself while cluster bombs were dropped all around them. If the strategy is, which is what it appears to be, punish the civilian population so badly they will themselves reject the Houthis and make it impossible for the Houthis to operate, then that's going to fail.
I'm blaming Salman. Salman is a criminal. He is the enemy of the whole Islamic world. He's the enemy.
That's a spice merchant in your film, Ben Anderson, who had his business destroyed by munitions. Salman, he's talking about, is King Salman of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and you know, as I said before, I think that's going to be the result of this, is hatred of Saudi Arabia and the US, not hatred of the Houthis. We saw no one blaming the Houthis.
You walk into these villages that have been bombed to the ground. Children run out, bring you fragments of munitions, casings of bombs for you to look at. And what do you find?
That was one of the most incredible scenes. We saw some yellow bomblets from cluster bombs. I think 113 countries have signed a treaty saying cluster bombs should be banned. The US hasn't signed that treaty. And certainly using them on civilian areas is illegal. Eventually, the family figured out that we were interested in picking up these things and looking at them, and just brought out piece after piece after piece. And they'd had five cluster bombs dropped on them. And each cluster bomb contains 202 bomblets. And luckily, none of them had been killed. But, you know, these are bombs with literally made in the US written on the side. The problem with the cluster bombs is they, you know, the shell explodes 100 feet above the ground. And then these bomblets, the ones we found actually had small parachutes attached. They open up and then spread over an area roughly the size of a football field. A percentage of them, between 5 and 10%, don't go off. And, you know, bright, yellow, shiny things are attractive to kids. So sometimes years after a conflict has ended, the kids will walk up and you know, play with them, pick them up, you know, examining them. And then they'll go off, and that's when they kill people or cause people to lose limbs.
Saudi Arabia has been buying weapons from the United States for quite a long time, but as you mentioned, hasn't put them into the field very much until now. What is the size of the weapons dealings between the United States and Saudi Arabia?
And I think that was one of the most shocking things when I got back and started looking into this. You know, I thought it would be several billion dollars a year. In the last 5 or 6 years, it's $90 billion worth of weapons that the U.S. has agreed to sell to Saudi Arabia. So that's President Obama agreeing to sell that many weapons. And amongst that, $640 million worth of cluster bombs.
At the same time, Ben Anderson, we're in a situation where we've been trying to goad the Saudis to take a more active role further north in Syria, in Iraq, against ISIS. There's a juxtaposition here. The Saudis are participating in the coalition, but according to a lot of Americans, not quite enough. Meanwhile, they're busy in Yemen with their own business there.
Nowhere near enough. I mean, I think over the last 5 or 6 months, the average Saudi and coalition, as in, you know, the other Gulf states, airstrikes have been 1 every 2 months. That's how little they're helping with the fight against ISIS. And I don't know anybody that thinks that the Houthi takeover of half of Yemen is, you know, the number one crisis in that region.
What do the Saudis say about this? Have they been asked? Have they said, as soon as we get done in Yemen, we'll bring it on over to ISIS, or do they not?
They've made statements about eventually helping with ISIS. When asked about civilian casualties in Yemen, it's been absolute denial so far.
And what has Saudi Arabia said about its end game in Yemen? When will it stop?
Today, apparently, there's a Houthi delegation in Saudi Arabia. So maybe after 10 months, they realize that they're not going to create a new image of themselves as strongmen in the region. So maybe there's going to be a negotiated end to this. And that they've dropped the idea that they can crush the Houthis and win that way.
Vice on HBO has an eyewitness account of civilian bombing in Yemen, apparently at the hands of Saudi Arabia using U.S. weapons. Ben Anderson is correspondent for Vice on HBO. The segment is called Return to Yemen. Ben Anderson, thanks again.
Thank you.